You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus, here to start your week off right with some Chicago Bears analysis. Today is another edition of Mock Draft Monday, and my friend Trevor Sikkema, one of the hosts of Locked On NFL Draft, will be joining us today. We're going to look at some of the Bears' draft needs here post-free agency, or at least post the first main wave of free agency. We'll look at how things have kind of changed here as we look at the 8th overall pick. We're going to focus on the defensive backs, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick, Denzel Ward, Jaire Alexander, Josh Jackson, but we're also going to use his Buccaneers background to take a look at what Tampa Bay might do with that 7th overall pick, of course, one pick before the Bears. We have a lot of NFL draft talk to get into here, so let's jump right in. Joining me now on Locked On Bears is Trevor Sikkema. He is a Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat reporter for Pewter Report, but he is also the host of Locked On NFL Draft here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey. That's T-R-E. Trevor, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. No, it's good to be back with you. I know we talked one time before, a couple of months, a while ago now,
yeah,
but it's good to be back.
Beginning of the
man.
Season, I think, for the Bears-Buccaneers game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Quite a lot has changed since then for both teams, really. Wow. That game was such a one-sided blowout. It looked like everything was going up for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Everything was going down for the Chicago Bears. One of those things remained true. One of them did not. So very interesting seasons we both got to watch here. But we'll get to a little bit of Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the end because their draft situation is definitely going to impact what happens with the Bears. Mm-hmm. But I want to focus more specifically on general NFL draft stuff. You and John Ledyard over at Locked On NFL Draft, you guys did a cool draft March Madness bracket last week. Can you explain to me and the listeners how that worked, what the process was, and how you guys went through the bracket?
Yeah, sure. So John and I are big. We're big March Madness guys, and so we kind of go all out for it. So, you know, we have a Locked On NFL Draft podcast that we do, and we thought, hey, you know, why don't we get kind of creative and have something to tie in with March Madness? You know, we're thinking of things to talk about because we talk about plenty of prospects in different ways, and we talk about position groups. And so we decided, because neither of us have released our final big boards yet, we decided to put kind of a consensus top 32, break up the top 32 prospects in this draft, seed them as if it's like a tournament play like March Madness, and have them play out which player is the best football talent. You put position aside, positional importance aside, and we tried to get it down to, and we did, figure out who is the number one prospect in this draft class in a fun little way of doing it, kind of in a March Madness little style. So that was something that we did Monday through Thursday, going through that bracket, comparing different players, getting to go through each round, having some fans vote on Twitter because sometimes John and I couldn't agree about which guy to send to the next round. So it was a pretty fun exercise. I enjoyed doing it.
So who were the 4-1 seeds? And then who ended up as the final four?
Okay. The 4-1 seeds were Quentin Nelson, Roquan Smith, the linebacker from Georgia, running back from Penn State, Saquon Barkley, and then NC State pass rusher Bradley Chubb. Those were the 4-1 seeds. Three of the 1 seeds got to that final four: Quentin Nelson, Roquan Smith, and Saquon Barkley. But in a bit of a surprise upset, LSU running back Darius Geis took down Bradley Chubb in that tournament, and he actually represented that part of the bracket. So Darius Geis is only a 4 seed in this one from the consensus boards that I was kind of getting together. And so the final four ended up being Geis versus, I believe, Roquan Smith, and then Saquon Barkley versus Quentin Nelson.
A bit of a Cinderella story there with Geis.
Yes.
But I noticed none of those four were these defensive backs that seem to kind of be in this top 10 discussion. How close for you were the likes of, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick, Denzel Ward, Derwin James to being in that Final Four.
So I try to support especially Denzel Ward pretty hard. He had a tough matchup. I'm trying to find the bracket here. Where was he? Where was Denzel Ward at? Denzel Ward was going up against – he went up against DJ Moore, the wide receiver from Maryland, in the first round that we had. He went on in that one. And then it was Denzel Ward versus Josh Rosen in the second round. I said that Denzel Ward should advance. John said Josh Rosen, so we had to take it to a Twitter vote, and Twitter voted Ward ahead of Rosen there. So I would have had the final of that bracket be Denzel Ward versus Darius Geis, and that would have been really interesting. We were also pushing for Derwin James a little bit. I actually said that Derwin James should have represented the bracket that Saquon Barkley was representing, but again, Twitter said that they wanted to see Saquon move on, so we didn't get to see that there. Minkah Fitzpatrick was a 2 seed in his. I think he made it to the little Final Four that he had in his area of the bracket, so I guess the Elite Eight. I think he got taken down by Roquan Smith. But, no, I mean, pretty decent consideration for those top defensive backs. They just had some tough matchups in the bracket. But those are some guys that I really like in this draft class, whether that fun little exercise kind of glorified them or not. Those are players that I hold to pretty high standards.
Well, after the Bears have made these free agent signings at pretty key positions on offense and starting to retool and kind of bring back the same defensive cast they had last year, I think a lot of Bears fans are starting to key in on one of these top, you know, cornerback / safety players as being a near the top of the conversation for the 8th overall pick. Mm-hmm. I want to start with Minkah Fitzpatrick here because, you know, 2017, he played mostly in the slot and in the box, a little bit of deep safety, and I think the Pro Football Focus stat that keeps getting put out there was that he had 13 snaps at outside cornerback.
Right.
2016, though, he played more true free safety and a little bit more outside cornerback, but certainly not anywhere close to regularly. So where do you project him position fit-wise in the NFL?
So here's the thing with Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think Minkah is a very good defensive back. He's as versatile as he is advertised. But here's the thing with him. Even though the NFL is moving towards a system where you've got to have almost a midfield defender is what some people are calling it now, where you've got a slot corner who can almost do it all, who can guard Antonio Brown when he moves inside, who can guard Larry Fitzgerald when he moves inside, or can be I guess a factor against like a tight end, like a Travis Kelce or Rob Gronkowski. You've got to be able to have a player who can neutralize kind of that middle of the field, that slot area, because that is becoming such an emphasized part of offensive game plans. So in that sense, I think that Minkah's value is high just off of that alone. But if you're taking Minkah Fitzpatrick in the top 10, I think that you have to give him a shot at outside corner, because I think that that's where the highest value for a defensive back is, if you can be a shutdown corner. Now, does that mean that he can't move inside or wherever here? No, I'm not saying that. But if you are investing a top 10 pick in him as a defensive back, you have to be able to think that he could play outside corner some, at least in my opinion, in order to get the value for that kind of draft pick. Now, the Bears are a little bit different because I thought they've had some good safety play, especially last year. I know they're looking for an outside corner, but I know they just they tagged Fuller, correct? And they matched the offer?
Yeah, so he's locked in for – well, it's a 4-year contract, but really 2 guaranteed.
Okay. So, I mean, Fuller is going to be a guy that's there. Certainly they need another outside, and then they would need a nickel, correct?
Well, they also re-signed Prince Amukamara to a 3-year deal, but certainly – you get the impression that they could – they
right.
Want.
I'm not big – I knew that they did that, but I'm not big on him like obviously taking control of that spot for a big deal. So it gets interesting with the Bears and Minkah Fitzpatrick. So they're obviously picking at 8, and I think it could be a very good situation for them if they believe that Minkah Fitzpatrick can play outside. I personally do. I'm one of those people that thinks Minkah can play outside. I'm also one of those people who think if you're going to invest a top 10 pick in him, you have to allow him to play outside corner first. You have to see if you have a true shutdown corner that you just invested a top 10 pick in. Now, if he's not, that's okay, because he is, I think he is a fantastic nickel corner. I think he's a guy who can match up in off coverage and press coverage and all that kinds of stuff. But you've, in order for him to be worth it for a team like the Browns, he can't just be a nickel safety, even though that's a good position, because for them things are a little bit different. I think in order for him to be worth it for a team like Chicago, he has to be an all-around corner first. And then, you know, I mean, like, if you want to get creative and use him as safety, you know he could do that. He played at Alabama, things like that. So in order for him to be worth it, I think that they would have to believe that he can play outside cornerback snaps. And so, I'm not sure, because that seems to vary from team to team. So I don't know how teams view – like, for example, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I know that they don't think Minkah Fitzpatrick's an outside corner. So they're – I mean, I would advise them then not to take Minkah at 7, you know, because that's just not a good – it's not a good value fit for something like that. If the Bears think that he can, which I think that he can, and they're willing to give him the shot to prove it, then he could be worth it.
Do you think he's worth it value-wise if you say, okay, year one, we don't necessarily have a spot for you at outside cornerback. Year one, come in here and dominate the slot for us, and maybe year two – you know, if depending on how the guaranteed money works in Amukamara's deal, which hasn't really been publicly released, year two we'll move you to outside because we think you can do that eventually. I mean, is that worth it?
As long as I think they're open-minded enough for that to happen and for them to honestly give him the chance to do it. Because playing outside cornerback is really tough in the NFL, and you don't get better at it until you get the reps. So, like, saying something like that could be good in theory, but even if, like, it's not necessarily like a, like, say a good quarterback sitting by, like the Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre situation. You know, like, he sits behind Brett Favre, he gets to learn, he gets to go through things in practice, he's going, you know, he's playing preseason games, he'll play when Favre gets hurt, blah, blah, like, all this stuff. Minkah needs reps. Like, you can't just do one thing and then flip to outside cornerback. So if they have that plan for him, that needs to, I think, be in the plan. Like, they need to eventually give him that shot. I hope that makes sense. But it would have to be something that they are committed to doing and actually doing to get him reps, is I guess what I'm saying. Because, yeah, I think in the first year, with the situation with Amukamara, you can draft Minkah Fitzpatrick, you can play in this slot, you can have a good slot corner, blah, blah, blah. But throughout the year, like throughout practice, throughout the preseason, you've got to be giving Minkah Fitzpatrick reps at outside cornerback, or else he's not going to know what it's like in the NFL playing outside cornerback. And then if in 2 years in his contract, or if 2 years in, they're like, okay, we're ready to move on from Amukamara and we're ready to put Fitzpatrick there. Well, at that point, it's almost like it's a rookie year again in his third year in the league, because you're switching him to outside cornerback, which is a tough position to learn in the NFL. So they can do that. But I think there's got to be structure in place for them to do that.
Well, not everyone agrees with you about Minkah Fitzpatrick being able to play outside cornerback, and that doesn't invalidate your opinion or anything. But I happen to know that he is not your cornerback number one in this draft. You have Denzel Ward at the top. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
What sets him apart? Not necessarily even from Fitzpatrick, but what sets him apart from Josh Jackson from Iowa and Jari Alexander?
I think mentality and athleticism. I think Denzel Ward is – I like Jair Alexander a lot. And I think that Jair Alexander would be my CB2. But Denzel Ward, I think, is a little bit more athletic. He's a little bit stronger. No, actually, not a little bit. I think Denzel Ward's a lot stronger. And I think that – you know, I think they both have the mentality that you need from a cornerback. But that whole – plays bigger thing, it's such a cliche and it gets so overused in the draft, but Denzel Ward truly plays bigger. Not afraid of size matchups at all. Not afraid to do the things that you would normally see like bigger, longer corners do. He's not afraid to give it a shot if that's what he obviously needs to do. Now, there are some times in his tape where I've watched him dive for a ball or go for a ball that's up at the catch point where it's like, okay, he lost that battle because he is not as big. His arms aren't as long. That's just a fact. But it's not for lack of him going for it. And so if that's the biggest weakness that the cornerback has, give me that guy all the time. So I think that he is so comfortable. Denzel Ward, this is a big thing with Denzel Ward too. Ohio State plays with their cornerbacks very much close up in press coverage and man coverage. Sometimes it's in cover three, but a lot of the times they're playing them up in press man. When you play press man, your back is to the ball quite a bit, and it is an instinct that is really, really hard to even acquire or adapt to, playing with your back to the ball. Being able to read a wide receiver's eyes, their body language, knowing when a ball's going to come in, knowing when you can put your arm out there to push it out or get more physical, or how to engage with contact without drawing a penalty. Denzel Ward does all of those things really well. And I think that when you talk about an outside cornerback, that's something that because especially one at the top of this draft class, because when you're picking the number one cornerback in a draft class, you want them to be a shutdown corner. In order for them to be a shutdown corner, they're going to have to play press man coverage. It's just the way the NFL goes. And there are guys who know how to play up in man coverage, and they know how to play like cover three. You know, they can stick with an assignment, but some of them still can't play with their back to the ball. I think Denzel Ward does a really good job of that. And I think the rest of the stuff, the athleticism, the instincts, the fact that he is so strong for his small frame, I think that all is just added plus into the instincts that I've seen from him. And that's why he's my CB1.
We're talking NFL draft here with Trevor Sikkema from Locked On NFL Draft. Trevor, what about Jaire Alexander in here? I mean, I'm assuming you think Ward is a top 10 worthy player, considering he's CB1 and the value there. Would you put Jaire Alexander in that area? You know, would you consider him with the 8th overall pick or in that range, even if maybe a team that outside cornerback was a slightly bigger need? And also, why do you like Alexander more than, say, Josh Jackson, who I think has been a hot name because of the playmaking ability?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, I'll get to both of those guys. I think Denzel Ward's going to finish top 10 on my big board, and I think Alexander is going to finish either top 15 or top 20. So I think that those guys are relatively close. I think they're very talented players. I could see Jaire Alexander going 8 to the Bears and that being a good fit, just because I think he's a good corner. Now, if we're talking like the value game of the NFL draft, could the Bears trade back a little bit? Maybe like, say, I don't know, if there's a quarterback Miami still wants and they're sitting at 11, they want to move back there, or the Bills at 12 move to 11 or 12 and still get Jaire Alexander an extra pick. I think that'd be a great situation for them, because I think that that's well in play, depending on what the Raiders and the 49ers obviously want to do. But I do like Alexander, and I like Alexander more than I like Josh Jackson, not only because I think that Alexander is more of an athlete and more natural as a ball hawk, but because, again, I think that Alexander can play man coverage better. I like Josh Jackson a lot. I think that he is one of the best cornerbacks in this class when you let him play off coverage, when you let him read a quarterback's eyes, and when you let him react and keep everything in front of him. I think he's phenomenal at that, and that's where a lot of his interceptions came from. But when you play him in more press man, where you play him in more of that man close man coverage, sometimes he'll like turn his whole body around to get to an angle, and you know, wasted movement, wasted steps here. He just doesn't look as comfortable. And we saw this in the combine drills too. And sure, you don't want to, you're not like killing a prospect for some drills that they go through the combine with. But the backpedaling drills, for example. When you play press coverage, you've got to be able to backpedal. You've got to be able to sink your hips, and you've got to look natural doing it. Just Josh Jackson, at least for that day, did not look natural doing it. It just his body did not look natural in the backpedal, and some guys have it and some guys don't. Jackson is still, I think, a good corner, but he should not get picked before those first two guys, because I think those two guys have the ability to play man coverage, specifically close man coverage, better than Jackson does. Jackson's great if he's in off. We've seen him make a lot of interceptions in college, especially this year, being able to do that and being able to read, react to a quarterback size. But he does not give you the ceiling those other two players do.
Do you see some similarities between Josh Jackson and Kyle Fuller when he was coming out?
I think Fuller's better, but yeah, I guess so. I think both of them are smart in that sense. I thought Kyle Fuller was a very smart cornerback, and I think the same is with Josh Jackson. I just think he's got a little bit of weird tendencies about him. And again, like just the natural movement and how he backpedals and would have to do stuff like that. I was higher on Fuller in that regard.
Well, yeah, and I assume so, since Fuller was, you know, what, 14th overall, and Jackson might be.
Right.
We're just curious, what kind of general range? You said Alexander maybe in the teens there. Is Jackson more like the 20s or late first, early second for you?
Jackson probably be close to 25, 30, okay. I think, in that range for me. Maybe,
just generally. Don't have to lock it in.
No, yeah.
Well, I want to switch gears real quick here before I let you go. You are a Buccaneers beat writer, and the Buccaneers pick 7th, one pick before the Bears.
Yes.
And all offseason, it's really kind of looked like you see mock drafts, and people kind of describe what the Buccaneers need very similar to what the Bears are going to need. So if we can sit here and say, you know, neither the Buccaneers or Bears are going to trade up or down, and – you know, 3 or 4 quarterbacks go in the top 6 picks before Tampa Bay picks. What direction do you think Tampa Bay is going to go? I mean, I know it's probably similar, like if Chubb is there, if Nelson's there, if Ward is there. But if you kind of had to power rank or put a hierarchy on which direction they would ideally like to go based on where we are in free agency, what do you kind of generally see the Buccaneers looking at 7th overall?
I think that if the run on quarterbacks happens like we kind of think it's going to, and let's just say 4 of those top 6 picks are quarterbacks, I think the ranking that the Bucs would pick prospects in would be – now, this is them, not me.
Yeah.
I think it would be Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson, Derwin James, Vita Vea, Saquon Barkley.
And what about Ward? Just curious.
I think...
Or has Hargreaves kind of scared them away from that a little bit?
No, here's the thing. I don't think that Hargreaves has scared them away from that, but like getting Brent Grimes for another year and them, obviously, they're going to have to give Hargreaves another shot. I think that they're going to go with those top 5 players that I named more than they would go with Denzel Ward. That's just kind of at this moment because I've heard things about all of those other guys with the Buccaneers. You know, we talked to some people who know things about the process that's going on and everything.
Hashtag and, sources.
Yeah, indeed. Some hashtag sources. And I've heard those players be brought up. I have not heard Ward be linked to the Buccaneers other than in national mock drafts. So, not to say they're not interested, not to say that they haven't done their due diligence. Maybe he is a prospect on their board, and I'm just not too aware of it yet. But as it stands right now, I think that they would go all of those players before Ward. And so, like, if Chicago is Ward's guy, I don't think Tampa Bay is going to be a threat to nab him up.
If you were in charge of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I know that was how you think – they would probably rank it. If you're in charge of the Buccaneers, and actually, we'll just do it both. If you're in charge of the Buccaneers and the Bears, where would you ideally go with those two picks?
I think, all things considered,
that list of names, I mean, besides including Ward, those are pretty much all the same players the Bears are going to be looking at. Maybe not Vea as much, but especially the other guys.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of the same needs. If I'm Tampa Bay, though, I'm not trading back. Because likely you're not going to get a quarterback's price, and probably things are going to be too uncertain the farther you trade back. And so honestly, I think Quentin Nelson, if I was the Bucs, Quentin Nelson, Bradley Chubb, Harold Landry, Vita Vea, and Derwin James would be kind of like my 5 I'm targeting at 7. And you know for a fact you're going to get at least one of them. For the Chicago Bears, I like the idea of them picking Denzel Ward. If that's like where they want to go, I like that idea. I kind of like the idea of them trading back. Again, like not too far, but again, like that 11-12 spot, you can still get Alexander there. Hell, yeah, I mean, you might get Ward depending on what those other guys are going to trade up for. And so I think the Bears are in a decent spot to get a little bit cheeky with what they want to do. If they want to be able to play with that, if they say like that, they like the two corners there, that they wouldn't mind either one, and you're picking up a couple of extra draft picks, especially if a quarterback or Nelson or Chubb is still on the board after the Bucs pick or whatever, the price could be high for it. So I like the strategy. I mean, they've obviously done a ton in free agency to revamp that offense. They spent a lot of money doing a lot of revamping for that offense. You probably know the offensive line situation a little bit better than I do, but I guess I think
they do probably need a guard.
Probably defensive line or cornerback has got to be the pick for him, right?
So the Bears hired Notre Dame's offensive line coach to be their offensive line coach. So everyone's already kind of putting Quentin Nelson in Chicago if he's there. But
yeah,
I'm not necessarily as sold on that. Like, I think if they need an edge rusher to add to that rotation. I think if Bradley Chubb's there, they'd be hard pressed to go anywhere else. But they always like to take, you know, with this GM, they take the most athletically gifted player, even if he's raw, and just the high ceiling guy in the top 10 to try and, you know, the Kevin Whites, the Leonard Floyds, to try and get more. So I think, you know, I think there's some Chubb there. I think there could even be some Ward there, some Fitzpatrick there. And that doesn't necessarily fit Quentin Nelson as much, but it might be even just too natural of a fit to pass that up if he's there.
Yep, I'm with you. That sounds about right.
All right. Well, Trevor, it has been a pleasure having you on the podcast. Your NFL draft analysis is second to none, or maybe tied with John Ledyard, if we're going to be fair to the Locked On Podcast Network. Your draft analysis is great. Your Tampa Bay Buccaneers analysis is certainly number one by a wide margin. Don't know anybody else in the Tampa Bay market, so you are by far the best there. Trevor, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. It was a pleasure.
No, I appreciate it, man. Don't be afraid to ask me to come back on, man. I love helping out there. I love talking to a lot of people who are doing Locked On stuff. Y'all are doing some really great work.
All right. Thanks, Trevor. Thanks again to Trevor Sikkema for joining us on today's podcast. If you enjoyed our conversation and want more future NFL Draft Chicago Bears analysis, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Keep coming back for every edition of Mock Draft Monday. And really, in the coming weeks here, we're going to be all focused on the NFL Draft. So hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Be sure to like Locked On Bears on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bears. If that's not enough for you, there's always more Bears talk on my personal Twitter at Cox Sports One. This week, we're going to go around the rest of the NFC North here in the coming days and try and catch up on how the Bears' division rivals have acted in free agency, how things are going to look differently for the Vikings, Lions, and Packers, and how specifically that's going to affect the Chicago Bears. We might also get into a little bit of the draft for those three teams as well and kind of look at how things could be shaping up heading into the 2018 season for the rest of the NFC North. So be sure to keep it locked on Locked On Bears, and don't forget to bear down.